You know, as Dan McLeod mentioned just a few minutes ago, this is the time of year that there's a lot that's going on, isn't there? A lot happening. Have you noticed that? Last week or two of your life, have things gotten busier in some way? Some of you have traveled. Some of you will be traveling when maybe that's not a normal part of your life. There's a lot of things that keep us busy, a lot of things that we focus on this time of year. There's a lot of things that characterize this time of year, and a lot of things that come to your mind. No doubt, as you think about this time of year, as Dan McLeod mentioned earlier, this is the time of year that we often think about the giving and receiving of gifts. In fact, some of those who are very young here this morning, that's all they are thinking about, particularly the receiving of the gifts part of the giving and receiving part of this time of year. As you think about the giving and receiving of gifts, what comes to mind? What is it, especially when we come to a setting like this, what is it that comes to mind? Back in 1992, an author by the name of Gary Chapman, some of you will recognize the name Gary Chapman, he's written a lot of books on family, a lot of books on marriage and relationships. Gary Chapman first published his book back in 1992. It went through a number of revisions and additions after that. You're probably more familiar with the 2010 version of his book, The Five Love Languages. Many of you have read that book, and it's a good book, especially if you are married or getting married, to understand a little bit more about yourself and understand something about the person you're marrying. But Chapman's conclusion in that book is that individuals communicate love in different ways. Individuals feel loved in different ways. If you were to try to identify God's love languages, could you do that? And I use the word languages plural because I don't think you can narrow down God's love language to one single thing. But as you think about God's love languages, how would you say that God demonstrates and shows His love? One of Gary Chapman's points in that book is the idea of giving and receiving gifts, sometimes something that makes somebody feel loved. I believe that one of God's love languages is that idea of giving gifts. Can you think of anyone who is a greater gift giver than God? Can you think of any gifts that have ever been given that are greater than the greatest giver has given? You can't think. Some of you are going to get some pretty snazzy gifts this year. Some of you have been walking over to some of those presents that are already there, and maybe you've been shaking them a little bit, rattling them, pushing, you know, putting them on the scale, seeing how much they weigh, maybe even trying to figure out, and, you know, surely you're not one that's, you know, peeling back the paper just to see if you can get, surely you're not doing that, but you're trying to figure out what's inside there, because some of you are going to get some pretty good stuff. But I promise you there are no gifts that are going to be given this week, no gifts that are going to be received this week that are greater than the gifts than the greatest giver who's ever given is going to ever give you. You figure out how many times I just said the word give in that sentence. Today I want you to get your Bible out. You got your Bible? Can you hold up your Bible? I'm going to hold up my Bible. You hold up your Bible? Hold up your Bible. My Bible's bigger than your Bible. I want you to hold up your Bible. Because today we're going to the Bible. Okay? We're going to look at the greatest gifts that, you know how you figure out what the greatest gifts are that God's ever given? You got to open the Bible. This is the only place that's going to tell you about those great gifts. So I want you to, I've got my Bible out. You get your Bible out. And I want you to follow, we're going to look at five things today and five main verses today in your Bible about the greatest gifts that have come from the greatest giver. Now to our children, young people, and I'll say this even for the teenagers. From teenagers on down, especially to our young people, here's the deal I'm going to make with you today. You listening? If you will write down on a piece of paper the five gifts that are all going to be at the top of the screen on each of the slides, if you'll write down the five gifts that the greatest giver's ever given, along with the verse that's going to be up there at the top of the screen with it. And if you'll come show that to me or to Miss Tracy after worship this morning, we've got something we want to give you. All right? That's only for children, okay? Only, we don't have enough for everybody else. That's only for the children and teenagers. That includes you. If you want to bring and show to me or Mrs. Tracy, we've got something we want to give you. Now, she told me not to put a lot of candy in these things, so she told me not to put a lot of candy in these things, so there's not a lot. You define what a lot might be, but you come and show us your list of five things and five verses, and we'll give you one of those after worship today. But today I want you to open your Bible. You got your Bible? I want you to open it up, and let's look at gift number one in Acts chapter 17. You got your Bible, right? You're not looking up here, are you? You're looking in your Bible, right? Acts chapter 17, the passage that was just read for us. In verse 24, it begins by the word God. That's the subject of what Paul is preaching to these people. He's preaching to them about God. Because they didn't know about the true God in Acts chapter 17. And so he says, I want to tell you about the true God. And as he starts to preach to them about the true God, he tells them in Acts 17 and verse 25, he is not to be worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. And here's the gift. Here's gift number one. What does God give to you? He gives to all life, breath, and all material things. God's given that to you. He's given that to every single person on this earth. Life, breath, and all things. Your life is not the result of some biological accident. That doesn't happen. Even scientists know the law of biogenesis, that life produces life, that life comes from life. Your life did not come from some immaterial thing. Your life came from the greatest life giver, the ever-living God. And those Christians in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, they learned that. And in verse 9, they turned from their dead idols to serve the ever-living God. And your ever-living God, he's given you all of this. Your ever-living God, in Genesis chapter 2, formed man from the dust of the ground. Here was dust. Dust is just dirt. He took the dust of the ground and he formed man from the dust of the ground. And then verse 7 of chapter 2 of Genesis says he breathed into man the breath of life. He not just made him a living creature, but he made him an eternal soul. How do we know that? He made man in his own image. You are different than your pet hamster. You're different than your pet gerbil. You're different than your pet iguana. You know why? Because you're not an iguana. You know why? You've got a soul. You are an eternal soul created by God, just like Adam and Eve were. And God took that, you keep reading here in Acts chapter 17, God took that first couple, and the very next verse in verse 26, he took that one couple, and he populated the whole earth. He took that one couple, and from one man, from one woman, from one couple, he made every nationality on this earth. There are some people today that want to get all caught up in what somebody's skin color is. Guess what? We all go back to Adam and Eve. All of our skin colors go all the way back to the same place. We're all related. You might not like that truth, but we are. We're all related. You know why? Because we all got the same gift, life and breath. And it all came from the same gift giver. If you were to go back into the book of Ecclesiastes, you would see that it's not only life and breath, that gift we've been given, but I believe in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, when he says all things, he's particularly talking about material things, because that's what they were focused on. That's what they could see. And God wants us to know every material thing you have, every physical thing you have, it comes from God. The wisest man other than Jesus who ever lived, his name's Solomon. And when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, here's some things that I have learned. And he talked in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, and chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. He talked about that which we drink, that which we eat. He talked about our wealth and our power. He talked about all these material things that we have. And twice he uses this expression, it is the gift of God. No matter how hard you work to earn your dollar, it's the gift of God. No matter how much you pay for your... I paid $4.50 for butter yesterday. What in the world? $4. No matter how much you pay for your butter is a gift from God. Everything we have has been given to us by the greatest giver that's ever existed. Don't you feel blessed? There's going to be gifts given and received this week, no doubt. You're going to receive some really great gifts, but you won't receive any gifts greater than the greatest gift giver is going to give you. He's given you life and breath. He's given you all things. But I want you to go back to your Bible. You got your Bible? I want you to go back to your Bible and open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Why did I say 5? Because there's a 5 on the screen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at gift number 2 that God has given to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's a short verse. It's the very last verse of that chapter. And what does it say? Paul says, thanks be to God. When you receive a gift, guess what, young people? And old people too. Guess what's a good thing to do when you receive a gift? Say thank you. That's what Paul's doing in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. He's received a gift. He's saying thank you. What's the thank? Thank you for what? Thanks be to God for what? His indescribable gift. What's that? It's the gift of Jesus. The indescribable, maybe your Bible says the inexpressible gift is the sacrifice of Jesus. You won't receive another gift like this one. Jesus came. Jesus came to this earth. You know why? Jesus came because Jesus loves you. We sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do I know it? Because the Bible tells me so. Ephesians 5 and verse 2 is one of those places in the Bible that tells me that Jesus loves us and that He loves us and He gave Himself for us. He died for us. But not just some dying of natural causes. That's what a lot of people die from, is natural causes is what they call it. He didn't die from natural causes. Jesus died a violent death. He didn't just give Himself for you. Matthew 26 and verse 28, when He instituted this feast right here, He took the cup and He said, this is My blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's a gift. You won't find another one like it. Sacrificial gift of Jesus came because He loves you, to give Himself, to give His blood. And when He died on that cross, He took your sins upon Himself. He didn't have any sins. He never committed any. That's what 1 Peter 2 and verse 22 says. He committed no sin. Verse 24 says, but He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He took my sins and your sins right there upon Himself on that cross. And having taken our sins, He took our punishment. Sins have consequences. And Jesus stepped in our place and He took the consequences that were due to us for our sins. That's what Romans chapter 3 verse 25, that's what it calls the word propitiation. It means that Jesus stepped in and satisfied the wrath of God, satisfied the punishment that was due to us, and He took it on Himself instead. You ever received a gift like that? You won't receive another gift like that. Jesus coming and taking your sins, taking your punishment, and as a result of taking our sins upon Himself, He was separated from His Father in heaven. He cries out from the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He knew the answer because He had preached the answer. that our sins were put upon him. And so in this verse in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says, thanks be to God for this gift. If you back up in 2 Corinthians, you're in chapter 9, verse 15, back up one chapter in chapter 8 and verse 9, where it says about Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Thank you, God. How does he describe it? It's indescribable. What word does he use? It's inexpressible. The word there literally means it is a wonder beyond description. You can't put words to it. Jesus came and he died for you. The greatest gift giver ever gave you the greatest gift ever in the gift, the sacrifice of Jesus. Can I ask you what you've done with that gift? Some of you get gifts and you open them and you say, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I don't have anything like this. And you try to find something nice to say while you're smiling, but in the back of your head you're thinking, how am I going to get rid of this thing? What have you done with the gift that God has given to you in the gift of His Son? Do you realize how valuable it is? Because you see, right alongside that gift, right alongside gift number two is gift number three. And so I want you to turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to look at gift number two, or gift number three. It coincides with gift number two. It's over there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where the Bible tells you, here's another, and it's a free gift. Some of your translations are going to have that word free in there. It's the free gift of God. What is it? Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been what? What's the word? Saved. You got that locked in? Saved. You've been saved. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It what? What's the it? What's the word you just said? Saved. It. What's the it? Saved. It is the gift, the free gift of God. You know what gift God has for you today? It's the gift of your salvation from sin. You will not find another gift like this one. Salvation from every sin you have ever committed. You've received some gifts before, and you looked at it and you thought, what is this? What does this do? Well, let me tell you what this gift does. This gift, if you go back earlier in the chapter, and we looked in Ephesians 2 in a sermon earlier, and just a few weeks ago we saw this. But Ephesians chapter 2 says that, verse 1, you were dead in your own trespasses and sins. Sin is when we violate the law of God. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says that. Sin is when we violate the law of God. And when we violate the law of God, it's our own fault. We don't inherit that. The Bible never says we inherit that sin. It's something that we have committed. Verse 2 of Ephesians 2 says it's because of our own disobedience. We've disobeyed the law of God, violated the law of God, and the Bible says that is sin. What happens then? Well, sin has consequences. We said that a moment ago. There's a result that comes from that sin. What's that result? The result is that this sin that we've committed that's violated the law of God separates us from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Not somebody else's fault, it's your own fault. You're separated, that's the consequences, from your God because of your sins. And if you don't ever do anything about that separation on this earth, it will lead to a separation from God forever and ever and an eternal fire called hell. Romans 6 and verse 23 says that's the wages, that's what you earn. When you commit these sins and you don't do anything about it, the Bible says you earn something. The wages from that is death, an eternal separation from God. And you say, wait a minute, I thought there was some good news here. Yeah, there is good news here. I've done all of this. You've done all of this. I've created this problem. And yet here's the free gift. The free gift is that Jesus came along and he died in our place so that we could be saved. I wish we had time to go to Romans chapter 5, and I hope you'll write this passage down and go and look at it yourself. You know Romans chapter 5, verse 8 perhaps, where the Bible says God demonstrates his own love toward us. And that while we were what? Yet sinners. While we were up here in these three first points, while we were committing these sins and bringing these consequences upon ourselves, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I would urge you to go to Romans 5 today, read through the verses on the screen, verses 5 through 18, and underline the words "much more" 5 times in these verses. You think your sins are devastating to you and there's nothing that can be done about it? The grace of God is much more than your sins. It will accomplish much more. It'll save you from your sins. And it is much more than you deserve. 5 times you're going to read the word "much more." 5 times. Go and read your Bible and underline every time you see the word "gift." 5 times in these verses you got the word "gift." 5 times you've got this idea of "much more." Why? Because that's the way God operates. Maybe you've received a gift sometime and you thought, they could have done better than this. They've got more money than to give me this little trinket. What's up with this? And you think down on the person who gave it to you. I hope not, but it happens. Christ paid the ultimate price. And he gives you the free gift of your salvation, not from his sins. He didn't have any. From your sins. And he's giving you this gift today. Some of you are going to have to wait until Wednesday to get some gifts. They might be out there in the open, and you got to look at them for the next 3 days. I can't open this yet. Nope, you can't open it until Wednesday. God is not wanting you to wait until Wednesday. He's not saying, nope, this isn't for you. God has this gift of salvation for you to open today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, today is the day of salvation. Did you know that? He's ready to give it to you today. He doesn't want you to wait. What do I have to do in order to obtain that gift? Well, I've got to do whatever the gift giver tells me to do. If the gift giver puts conditions on it, well, then I've got to meet those conditions. God says in order to receive this gift that he's offering to me, I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I've got to believe that with all of my heart, that he came and died for me. He died for me on the cross. He bore my sins, not his sins, on that cross. And he shed his blood so that I could be saved. And then he died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. Oh, the evidence for all of that is just overwhelming. And I've got to believe that if I'm going to be saved. But that's not all. God says, I need to look at those sins that I've committed that put Jesus on the cross, and I need to turn away from them, change my mind, repent, change my mind about it. I don't want to commit those sins anymore. They separate me from God. I want to turn away from those sins and turn my life in the direction of God. That's a decision that I need to make. It's a decision God commands me to make in Acts 17 and verse 30 in order to be saved. But then I've got to confess with my mouth the faith that I have that Jesus is the Son of God. And then the Bible says I need to be baptized. Some people find baptism interesting, and some people would say, well, baptism's not necessary in order to be saved. And yet, the words of Jesus say, he who believes and is baptized, what do they get? The gift. The gift of shall be saved is for the one who believes and is baptized. That gift is available to those who repent and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins in Acts 2 and verse 38. Some of you have known about this gift for a good long while. Some of you have heard about this gift before. Some of you have known what the gift giver wanted you to do in order to receive his gift. But some of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting to do what you need to do to get the gift. God wants to give you this gift today. He doesn't want you to wait anymore. He's got his arms wide open, ready to pour upon you forgiveness of your sins. If you'll just arise and be baptized today, to live faithfully to Him, as Revelation 2 and verse 10, not to be baptized and then go back to what you were doing before, but to truly repent to be baptized and to live your life in service to Him to the best of your ability. God wants to give you that today. Will you accept it today? Will you receive that gift? You're going to receive all sorts of gifts this week from people maybe you don't even know all that well, or maybe people you're not really, I don't really want them to give me a gift. But would you accept this gift from the greatest gift giver ever? The gift of your salvation? And here's what happens. Here's what happens when you receive that gift. And we're going to get through these next two gifts quickly. Here's what happens when you receive that gift. You got your Bible? Go back to your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 7. Because there's a gift that comes with this gift of salvation. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, you know verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open to you. You know those verses. And then he goes down in verse 9 and he says, what father is there if his son asks for bread, is going to give him a stone? Or if his son asks for a fish, he's going to give him a serpent? No, 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 no. No father is going to do that when his son is in need. Look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. If you then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? You see, when you're a child of God, you've already got life and breath and all material things that you need. But when you're a child of God, you've got a Father, verse 11, you've got a Father in heaven who wants to give you all of the spiritual things that you need in life. The Bible says He's able to make all physical, material things abound towards you. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. But what He really wants to make abound towards you are those spiritual blessings. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I've come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. He's not talking physical there, material. He's talking spiritually. He wants to overflow you with spiritual blessings. James 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Those are spiritual blessings that God wants to give to you, but He can only give them to you, and He will only give them to you if you are in Christ. You got to be in the right place in order to receive His gifts. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Are you in Christ today? It's the only place those blessings can be given. Well, what kind of blessings are we talking about? We're talking about blessings that just are continual. Blessings that keep on coming. It's not one-time gift and you got to wait until your next birthday to get it again. It's not a one-time gift and then you got to wait until Christmas the next year to get it. God's spiritual blessings are continual every day, such as the continual forgiveness of your sins in 1 John 1 and verse 7. Such as the continual watch care of your God. The eyes of the Lord are over you, the righteous, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Such as the continual, not just watch care of God, such as the continual loving care of God. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. That's what God wants to give you. And to do that for you every single day, to offer unto you His continual access, direct personal access to God. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, if I'm in Christ, If I'm a Christian, I can come boldly to the throne of grace that I might find mercy and find grace in time of need. You don't have to go through anybody else on this earth. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you've got direct access to God. If you're in Christ, you have a peace. You can't even explain it. You can't even understand it. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And God wants to give that to you. John 14:27 and John 16:33, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." It's not the peace of the world. It's a different kind of peace that you have when you're a Christian. He wants to give you that continual blessing of just the overflowing fullness that can only be found if you're in His church. He uses an interesting expression in Ephesians 1. Verse 3 is where he says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Verse 22, he says that Christ was made to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. And here's how he describes the church. Are you listening to verse 23? The church is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. That's the church. If you're in His church, you're being filled with the fullness of everything that God has to offer on this earth. Continually. The greatest gift giver wants you to have that gift today. He's given you life, breath, and all things. You've got that. He's given you the sacrifice of Jesus. He came and died for everybody. And today He is offering you the gift of the salvation from your sins. And when you accept that gift and you follow the conditions that He's laid out for you, He will give you all spiritual blessings every single day and overflow them to where you cannot even number them. And then He has one more gift for you. Turn your Bible to this last verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and look at the last of the five gifts we're going to look at today. The last gift that He has for us is in Romans 6 and verse 23, where the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift, what is the gift of God? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has a lot of gifts for you here, but oh, does He have a gift waiting for you. And you can count on the promises of God. His promises are always guaranteed. And with the promises He makes in Christ, you're going to be limited to those who are in Christ. And so Christ said, the only ones who will go to heaven, Matthew 7, verse 21, the only ones who will go to heaven will be those who do the will of My Father in heaven. The only ones who have their names enrolled in heaven, Hebrews 12 and verse 23. The only ones who have their names written in heaven are those who are in His church. But notice and underline Romans 6 and verse 23. Are you there? The gift of God is eternal life, and He tells you where it is. Do you have the word in after the word life? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way that you will have eternal life to be with God forever and ever in heaven is if you are in Christ. How does somebody get into Christ? The same chapter tells you. The end of the chapter says heaven is for those who are in Christ. The beginning of the chapter in verse 3 says you've got to be baptized into Christ in order to get the promise of heaven eternally. God has this gift. And He wants to give you this gift right now. You're going to get gifts. You're going to give gifts. You will not find any gifts that compare with the gifts that God has for you. What will you do with them? Paul asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what do you have that you did not receive? Everything we have, we receive from God. But most importantly, He's offering you the gift of salvation from your sins. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Does that faith cause you to look inward and say, hang on a second, if those sins put Jesus on the cross and separate me from God, I don't want those sins anymore. I've got to get rid of them. And that decision ought to cause you to confess your faith in Jesus and do what they did in the New Testament, to be baptized into Christ so that your sins are forgiven at that moment, you're added to the church at that moment, so that you're given the promise of heaven at that moment. If you've never received His gift of salvation, please don't leave here today without that gift. Someday you're going to stand at that judgment bar on high. Someday your record's going to be opened and you're going to see it. Someday you'll answer the question of life. And when you stand before Jesus, what's your answer going to be to the gifts He's offered you? If you need to get right, do it right now as together we stand and sing.